Welcome to Cheers to This, the podcast where meaningful conversation is mixed with a good drink. I'm your host, Jay Hutchins, and today I'm joined by Gianna, a registered dietitian and author of the book, The GLP-1 Solution. We welcome you to pour yourself a glass and join the conversation. Hi, Gianna. How's it going?
Hey, good. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here today, but I am very curious. You have a really pretty glass. What's in it?
This is an Alani New Energy drink for some afternoon bubbly caffeine.
Well, same, actually.
Look at us go. This was not planned. Not planned at all.
Do you happen to have a cheers today?
Oh, wow. That's actually a really good question. I would say I would cheers to those of us showing up in hard moments.
Yes, to those of us showing up in hard moments.
Cheers. Cheers. I need to pace myself. Or I'll overdo it on the caffeine today.
Hey, there's never too much caffeine most of the time.
AM Gianna might disagree about that. 2 p.m. Gianna is like, yeah. And in like 10 hours, I'm going to be like, oh, no.
That's absolutely okay in 10 hours. I like you energized right now because we're going to dive into some GLP-1 talk here. A lot of people start being on a GLP-1 medication like Wegovy or Zepbound thinking success is just a number on the scale. But from your perspective, what other ways could people actually be defining success?
That's a really good question. And I'd actually say kind of the story of my life, especially on a GLP-1. So for people who might not know me, I am a dietitian and I specialize in working with people on GLP-1s, but I've been on a GLP-1 since 2022. And my success on a GLP-1 actually didn't come from weight loss. It came from how I felt. So I saw significant improvements in my insulin resistance and my insulin markers coming way down. I felt significant improvement in my joints and my swelling. So I think while the scale is talked about a lot, it's a very small part of the overall picture because we can see improvements in our energy levels, in our sleep quality, in our athletic performance, in our recovery, in inflammation, joint pain. Brain fog is actually a really big one that a lot of people see improvement with too. So it really systemically actually helps most of us feel a lot better. And sometimes I think maybe because people have lost weight, they're like, oh, I feel better because of the weight loss. But actually, there's a lot of people who don't see the scale move a ton, and they're still feeling significantly better.
That's an amazing list of possible ways to measure success. And I'm assuming a lot of people are going to hear that and go, oh, I'm going to start right away. I'm going to feel all of that amazingness. I'm assuming that's not true. I mean, what are some signs at the beginning someone is actually doing really well on a GLP-1?
Good question. I would say first and foremost, you're not violently ill. That's like a great way.
Oh,
great way to know that things are going okay so far. Something that I obviously see very frequently is people really struggling with side effects. And if you're consistently struggling with side effects and you're consistently sick because of them, you're really not going to feel great everywhere else. So I think that's the first thing I would say, because it definitely takes a little bit of time. For some people, that's maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months. But for some people, I've seen 4, 5, 6 months before they really start to see like overall benefit from being on their GLP-1. But we live in the day and age of Amazon Prime. And I hate to tell all of us, our bodies are not Amazon Prime. We're like international shipping. We'll show up in a few months.
But we show up.
It gets there. Just like if you were going to mail like a postcard to Spain, it's going to take like 4 months. So we're more like international snail mail, not Amazon Prime, like overnight or same day delivery or even like 2 day delivery. So it just takes a little more time, I think, than a lot of people are expecting. And I think that also is in part, this is just my own personal hypothesis, social media, I think, leads to the narrative of Amazon Prime, of like, we're going to get it there really quick, because the reality is a lot of people consume content on socials, which is great. Like, we would not know each other if it were not for social media.
True.
And so I think social media is fabulous at bringing community together and connecting people. But one of the downfalls, I think, is really big numbers, really quick success, really like big viral titles are that for a reason. They're big and they're viral. And the algorithm loves to push that. And so what we see the most of are those really fast successes or those big numbers. And that's just not the actual regular person for the most part.
I know somebody's going to hear that and they're going to be just a skosh disappointed that they aren't guaranteed those big numbers. But I feel like that kind of reality check is necessary for everyone, like even the people that are going through it and they're seeing those numbers at the beginning. Should they expect those numbers to keep going or what should they expect?
This is where I really wish that I would have made my shirt that says, it depends, because I feel like that is an answer that I say a lot, where all of us are so different. Our bodies are so different. How we respond is so different. Our environment, our habits, our lifestyle, we're all different before starting meds. And so everybody's experience is going to be a little bit different. And I think in the last week alone, on like four separate occasions to my clients, I was like, hey, so you know that really big saying that everybody's like, oh, it's cliche, but comparison is the thief of joy. So I see so many people beat themselves up and be like, I'm not progressing fast enough. My numbers aren't big enough. Like it's not moving. And I'm like, okay, but like compare it relative to what? Is it like an expectation that you built in your head? And like, how did you get there? I literally made someone this week come back to me who was like frustrated in their check-in. And I was like, here's my list of questions for you, and I need you to verbalize a reply to me on every single question so we can figure out where you created this idea in your head that's making you doom scroll on ChatGPT and Google at like 1 a.m. because it's not doing anything good for you.
That is absolutely hardcore and brilliant, and I love it because so many people don't check themselves and don't dig deep enough to find like how they got there. They're like, it's just because. And I think very little of life is just because.
Yeah. And I will say like something that I've learned by being in the social media community, I have found that a lot of people don't actually know what dietitians do, or I should say really well-equipped dietitians. But like when people work with me, I'm also a certified personal trainer. So I'm both because I wanted to be able to like when people work with me, like you get the nutrition and you get like the movement piece. I even have training as like a bar teacher. If anybody likes bar classes, like that used to be my jam pre-COVID. So I'm additional to being a dietitian. I do movement with people. But as a dietitian specifically, I work through a lot of the mindset piece with people. And that's part of my like normal education that I got. Like I was equipped to do that as soon as I became a dietitian, really before, but I've also gotten additional like health mindset coaching certifications. When you work with me, it's not like, okay, well, here's a meal plan and like go do it. No, no, we are literally going to think of the Bloomin' Onion at Outback Steakhouse, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. We are literally picking every single little thing out of there and we are diving all the way to the middle. Like there is no layer left unturned as long as someone's willing to do that with me. But usually people don't sign up to work with me if they're not willing to dive into that in like a one-on-one space. But I will say a lot of what I work with people on isn't like, it's like we can set the targets and the goals and you're going to work on them. But it's a lot of like working through what your barriers are to consistently doing those things. And a lot of that comes back to the mindset. And that I think then ties back into what I was saying about social media. Like it just depends on how people are going to respond. Like you might be slower in the beginning or you might go really fast and then you might slow down. And that doesn't mean that the medicine's not working. It doesn't mean that you're broken. It just means that we need to adjust what we've been working on.
I would love to dive a little bit deeper into some of the things you've seen, you know, from people you've worked with. Like, have you seen people technically lose weight, but still struggle with how they're eating? And if so, what's usually missing there?
Healing your relationship with food in your body. It's like an overarching theme. And honestly, like I'm someone who I can relate to a lot of people. Everybody that I work with, typically, I've been in the shoes. Like I've been in the shoes. I've walked the walk. Like I know how they're feeling. So when I say that, I'm not like, oh yeah, just go fix that. Easy peasy. Like it takes a lot of work to fix that. But like, yeah, it objectively, like you can lose weight on a GLP-1 without fixing your habits. You might crash and burn while doing that, or you might get away with it for a little bit longer. But I will say I've seen it come back and bite people in the butt a month, a year later. Like it usually comes back around. I don't follow everyone long term to see what's happening. Like if I see them like crashing it into the ground, then I'm mostly like, look away. It's like the op for me. I think, you know, that analogy where like some people are like, it's like a car accident and I can't look away. It's the opposite for me because I get so upset when I see people doing things like unsafely or unsustainably. And I'm like, I just want to help you, but I can't help everyone. And not everybody wants to be helped. So for me, it's the opposite of the car accident. I'm just like, okay, I got to look away. Like I literally can't look at this. I just have to like put my little blinders on and like keep it moving. So like factually, yes, people can lose weight really quickly on a GLP-1 or they can lose a lot of weight and not really improve their lifestyle. But that long term isn't actually health. And I also think that's where then that challenge comes in, where I actually challenge a lot of people to rewrite what healthy looks like for them. A lot of times we've tied that to a number on the scale, especially for so many of us. Like I live in a plus size body still to this day, and I'm not actively trying to be a smaller size. Like I'm great. My closet is fabulous. I'm good to go. That was actually the most upsetting part to me when I originally had lost some weight going on a GLP-1 because that was not my intention. And I loved my closet and some of my favorite outfits no longer fit. And I was like,
you're like, how dare you?
I'm never going to replace this. And then my favorite clothing store closed anyway. So I was like, I'm really not going to replace this.
Oof. No.
It was a hard moment, but anyway, not about me. Like, I just think a lot of times when a lot of us have been so focused on losing weight or struggling to lose weight, or we've gone up and down on our weight our whole life, we've tied, and sometimes it's other healthcare professionals like putting this number in our head too, we've tied our health and our success to a specific number. But a lot of times it's not actually the specific number. It matters more what you're doing on a day-to-day basis than an actual number. And that is kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around because people are like, what do you mean? No, I just hit this one number and then everything's fine. And everything's fine.
That's not how that works. That's not how life works.
Yeah, like I hate to burst your bubble, but I'm just going to tell you right now, like you can get there, but I'm just saying like you're still probably not going to have a ton of energy and you're not going to athletically perform very well. And I'm not talking about all of us going out and signing up for rec leagues or being semi-professional athletes or anything like that. I'm just talking like keeping up with your kids or being able to go to like a group workout class with your friends on like a bachelorette party and not feeling like you're dying the entire time. I mean, sometimes you're just going to die no matter what because you always have that friend that's like, let's work out at 8 a.m. after a night out. And I'm like, why wouldn't we do that?
Why
do
you hate me?
that was literally me 2 years ago. We brought the instructor to the house at the bachelorette party and I laid on a yoga mat the entire time. Like, why are we doing this? Like, just leave me here to die. Like, please don't make me like do a downward dog at like 8:15 in the morning when we were at the bars until like 2 a.m. Like,
that sounds unconstitutional. That is cruel and unusual punishment.
The bride didn't even make it. She was unconscious, but the rest of us in our matching sets were literally laying our bodies out. I think one of the girls literally just laid there in like a ball the whole time. I did try to do some of it, but don't do it, everyone. If you're listening to this, do not agree to a morning workout class at a bachelorette party, okay? Just don't do it.
So that sounds terrible and gruesome, but you didn't avoid that. But when people don't want help, or, you know, you can't help them, you avert your eyes. But for the people that are willing and you're able, how do you actually help someone trust the process when their relationship with food has been complicated for years?
Most of the time, I recommend therapy in conjunction with working with me.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of therapy in multiple different ways for multiple different parts of life. Honestly, I like to just stay really curious because it's not an overnight thing. It's not something that happens in just a couple weeks. It's a really intentional like process and reworking of like those wires that you've put together in your brain of like how you think about things. For me, on like the food and movement piece where I work with people, like movement, for example, a lot of people have used movement as a punishment or as something that they have to do to lose weight. But I'm like, well, do you actually even enjoy any part of it? And they're like, no, I hate it all. And I'm like, okay, maybe we could try to find something else that we like enjoy. And maybe like, and for some people, I do believe this, for some people, they're never going to find joy in movement. Like, it's just not something that brings them joy. So my motto then is like, what can we find that you hate the least? You don't have to love it. You don't even have to like it, but like, can we just like hate it less than something else?
speaking my language.
like, don't ever put me down for running. Like, if anybody's ever watched the first Pitch Perfect, like, I am like that person that will be hiding in the chairs. Like, do not ever put me down for running. I just am not doing it. Like, well, actually, I'm not orthopedically sound enough to do that. But like, I also just would find no enjoyment in it. Like, it's hate with a capital H-A-T-E exclamation point. Like, there is no joy in that. But for me, I like swimming. I like walking because I can listen to podcasts. I can watch. I'm not actually watching because, again, I'd probably trip and break something. But like, I'm listening to YouTube videos or podcasts or a Netflix show. Like, or if I'm walking on a treadmill, then I could actually watch something because much lower risk of like falling and breaking something. But like, that's like the movement side. And then for the food side of it, honestly, for a lot of us, it all ties back to childhood, whether it was intentional or unintentional things that we watched our parents do, or how our parents spoke about us or our bodies. And some people, it doesn't trace all the way back there, but that's where I'm like, you should go really explore this with a therapist and think through like where this came from. Cause we can work together on like, okay, you have this perception that these certain foods are bad for you, or you can't have this. You know, like food rules that we've put in place for ourselves. And probably people listening can think of a few that they've put in for themselves over life. Like as someone with PCOS, people had so many opinions on like, you can't have this and you can't have that. And I have people come to me all the time being like, I've cut out these six groups of foods. And I'm like, what are you eating? And they're like, protein. And I'm like, okay, what about the rest? And honestly, like, there's genuinely never any judgment from me, because typically it's like, it's an experience that led us to this, or it's like a, we felt so bad and nobody was helping us. Nobody was giving us answers, that like, we're willing to do really extreme things. And the reality is, actually, the less extreme it is, the more sustainable you can do it and the more like impactful it can be on your life. But again, it kind of goes back to our conversation earlier, where like, that takes time. And a lot of us have to work on patience. And I'll be the first one to say, I hate being patient. It's so annoying.
Well, I'm just thinking about patience and extremes. In the spaces that we're in, there's a lot of conversations around appetite suppression with GLP-1s. But I know I talk a lot about learning satiety. I mean, how do you help people actually recognize and trust and lean into those kinds of cues so they're not rushing things?
Yeah. I don't know if it's always the first, but I like to talk a lot about like how that system actually works in our body, like how we're actually getting hunger cues, how we're actually getting fullness signals. I also find that a lot of us are just very busy, so we habitually shovel food into us while we're on the go, while we're moving, while we're taking care of the kids, like while we're on a work call, like going between tasks. Like, we all just move so fast. And so sometimes we've actually just eaten a lot and our body can't even keep up to how fast we just put food in us. And then we're so uncomfortable that we're like, especially on GLP-1s, we then pay the consequences later because we ate way too much at once. And so it's honestly multifaceted. I like to really explain like how it works in our body and then how taking a GLP-1 changes that, because there's a lot of conversation about like listening to your body. A lot of us have never intentionally done that, or been taught to or understood how it's happening. So I like to explain when I'm working with people, like how it's happening, like how this happens, how taking a GLP-1 changes that, and how we can start to work with that. So I like to call it strategic eating. It's what I work with all my clients on pretty much, of like, I understand you're not hungry, but like, you still got to eat. If we're being responsible adults and taking a medication that we know can change our hunger signaling, we then need to be responsible adults to strategically put food in us in small amounts throughout the day. And you know what? It's crazy. And you might have been in a few lives here or there where like, I pop in, I kind of manifest into people's lives at like the craziest times where they'll be like, Gianna's here. She heard us. And I'm like, it's kind of like a seventh sense, I think. Not even a sixth. It's like a seventh, where I'm like, I've been summoned here. I am. And they're like, we were just talking about how like you told us we needed to eat more, so all of us have been eating more small frequent meals. And I'm like, and they're like, and I've lost X amount of weight, or I feel so much better. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Oh my gosh. They just summoned you and you're like, thank goodness.
I'm like, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for summoning me to the show.
Speaking of summoning things, I want to talk about your book. for a second here. I'm about to say an understatement, actually. You share a lot, I mean, a lot of strategies in your book, The GLP-1 Solution. I want you to just dig deep in your mind and tell me, what are a couple that you find yourself repeating over and over because they're that important?
Great question.
And to be fair, there's a lot of strategies in there, so I'm asking a tough question.
Yeah, see, I was like, are you going to hit me with anything hard? This is a hard question because if I'm being honest with you and anyone listening, I wrote this book and I think I blacked out writing it. I was totally, totally sober. No alcohol involved, everyone. Just water, electrolytes, and caffeine. But I essentially cracked open my brain and dumped it into a Word document. And I will say, like, the pieces of it that I talk about a lot are the strategic eating piece, like we kind of talked about, because I find people under eating so frequently, and that's causing a lot of their experience to not be as sparkly and fabulous as it can be, in my opinion. Like, they're more tired, they're feeling more nauseous, like they have more side effects, they're constipated. The way I pass away a little bit on the inside when someone tells me they only go to the bathroom like twice a week, and I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
No.
That just hurts. Like, I'm physically in pain for you. So the strategic eating piece, I talk a lot about hydration with people too, because a lot of us are not getting enough hydration regularly. I talk a ton about fiber with people. And that's maybe just also part of my crusade of, like, I'm so worried that colon cancer is on the rise in young people that I'm like, we all need to get more fiber. And if it's the last thing I do, I will tell everyone about it. I literally have a tote bag that says fiber is the new protein, because I need us all to focus more on fiber than protein a lot of the time. So yeah, I talk about fiber a lot. I actually talk about carbohydrates a lot because I find a lot of people are underdoing that. And then I find that a lot of people are nauseous. And I am like the nausea queen over here. Like, I had a prescription for Zofran before being on a GLP-1 because something is off balance in this noggin. And so, like, I just look outside the wrong way and I'm like, and we're nauseous. So I personally don't enjoy being nauseous. And if somebody does enjoy being nauseous, I would just like to understand your life choices on how you got to that conclusion, because I hate feeling nauseous and I hate throwing up. So I just, like, you know, you always have like a friend. Everybody probably can like think of someone when I say this. You have that friend that's like the puke and rally friend. I am not that friend. I'm like a puke and lay down and see you like in 2 day friend. Like, there's no rallying here. So I would say those are the areas, though, from the book that I talk about most often with people, because if we can get all of those things in a metaphorical, like, ducks in a row fashion, a lot of times people start feeling a lot better, and then the other parts of the book become a lot easier to.
That is really helpful to know. So I only have one more strategy question, I promise, that came to mind. What's a strategy that is often overlooked but surprisingly important while on GLP-1? How dare you?
I know, sorry. Not me being like, 1 a.m. Gianna's going to regret this afternoon caffeine, but we'll sleep in tomorrow. It'll be okay. We'll still get sleep. I would actually say sleep, because, and the reason why is when we are not sleeping enough, it kind of directly works against weight loss, no matter what, GLP-1, not GLP-1. Like, if you are chronically not sleeping enough, nothing good's going to happen anyway, but definitely not weight loss. But we know sleep is super important for helping with appetite regulation, for mood regulation. So this week, I literally said to someone, I'm a much nicer person when I am well rested. I give a disclaimer to my wonderful husband, who's like a human form of a golden retriever that keeps me alive. Like, if I sleep really bad, that next day I'm like, I am sorry for anything that I say today. I'm going to try really hard to not like snap at you. I am just not my best self. And it's because I didn't get enough sleep. But like, your skin is impacted by sleep, like your weight loss, your mood regulation, your athletic performance, your recovery, like it's all impacted by sleep. So I don't think people talk about that enough, but it's a big deal. And it's not just time asleep, it's also quality. So you could spend 10 hours sleeping every night, but if your quality is terrible, like, it's going to still be terrible.
So tossing and turning for 10 hours is just as bad as an hour and a half probably of sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like a sleep brain person, but I would say, I don't know the exact conversion, but I do know that if you're not getting quality sleep, the quantity does not matter. And anybody with, honestly, probably sleep apnea knows that like before, when they were not breathing while sleeping, which is very scary. People who sleep next to someone with sleep apnea would understand that. Half the time before my husband got diagnosed, I was literally waiting for him to start breathing again. Like, I would wake up every time he stopped breathing. Not a deep sleeper, obviously, but it's similar. Like, people with sleep apnea struggle to actually feel rested and recovered and function throughout the day, which we then see like weight related things come with that. But it's because you're not getting good quality sleep. But if you fix your sleep, everybody usually starts to feel a lot better. And then that just makes the day to day easier. It makes it easier to go for the walk or get to the workout, get your food prepped and ready, eat less sugary foods because you crave more when you're not well rested too.
So, Gianna, I have to tell you, I lied. I said no more strategy questions, but I have one more.
That's okay. I'm happy to answer.
You aren't the only person that talks strategy. There are a bunch of people that maybe shouldn't be talking strategy online, but they do anyway. What's something about being on a GLP-1 medication that sounds right online, but is actually not helping people long term?
That's such a hard question. That's such a hard question. Okay, in fairness, if I had more time to think about this, I might come up with a different answer. So nobody like pitchfork me for saying this. Okay. Like, I'm just throwing out there what came to my mind first. I think people put too much of an emphasis on protein intake on social media. And long term, I see people so fixated on, well, I'm getting my 90 grams of protein per day. And I'm like, right, but you're actually not getting enough calories in overall. You're neglecting other food groups. Or sometimes I see people eat so much protein a day, they're like at 150. And numbers are different for every single person, to be clear. But like, their protein is so high, or they're so fixated on protein that they're missing carbs, they're missing fats, they're still not getting enough calories in overall. Like, there's nuance to everything in nutrition. And like on my podcast, I literally say that somewhere in every episode. I'm like, okay, you guys, I'm talking about the average person. Like, don't come pitchfork me. I will not fight you on social media. I will literally just block you because I'm not fighting with like internet strangers about things. Like, there's nuance to everything. And I'm speaking generally, but generally speaking, I think people see so much emphasis on protein when I dive into a lot of people's like actual food logs and when I'm looking at their patterns and how they're feeling. We're missing so significantly in other areas that like fabulous work, 10 out of 10 on the effort and execution on getting protein in you. But we need to take that same energy, dial it down a little bit on protein and channel that into the other areas of our food intake. Protein lovers, don't throw your protein bars at me, please.
Don't throw your protein bars, keep them, but add something else in, please.
Like a fruit. With your protein bar, have a fruit.
See, I think people can do that. Doesn't sound impossible.
It doesn't need to be like a fancy fruit. Like, it doesn't need to be the, what is it? It's like the Erewhon strawberries that are like $100 or something. Like, no, I'm saying,
oh my
like,
gosh,
grab an apple.
And they sell it one strawberry in the container, just one. It's crazy.
It's insane. But like, I'm not asking people to do that. Just like little things. Just.
Okay. So let's say someone is listening right now and they're on GLP-1 medication and feeling like they're just not doing it right. What would you want them to hear?
I mean, to take your question literally, like I would really challenge people to think about like what is quote unquote right, like, and how, where are you comparing that from? Because really we just have to look at like what's good for you, not what's good for other people or like everyone else. I would say there's such a significant lack of support for people when they start GLP-1s that like, if you're not getting support locally, look bigger. There are people that like that do provide support. Like, even if you meet with a dietitian just once to get clarity on like what you should be doing, which honestly, like if you go through insurance, you'll probably need to meet with someone a few times because your first visit is pretty much just intake, not actual implementation of anything. But I would say never stop looking for help. Like, and if the help that you've tried to seek isn't helping you, seek help elsewhere. And I understand that that's energy that we have to exert to do that, but like, it's really worth it to not feel like you're just floundering. So if you're feeling like something's not quite right, like ask for help, get help, lean on support, like be careful asking other people what they're doing, because what they're doing doesn't mean it's good for you or right in general. It might be okay for them, but it might not be okay for you.
And we definitely have to do what's right for each of us. So, Gianna, I do.
So individual.
So, Gianna, I do have one more question, if I may. So, where the heck can people find you?
That's a great question. Mostly on Instagram. So I'm on social media at dietitian.gianna. I think technically on TikTok also, that's where I am. But when you scroll TikTok, it's more like my sad girl, like grief journey and like some GLP-1 stuff. And then just random stuff like dancing in the street in Nashville at like 3 a.m., which may or may not have expedited a recent knee surgery. So like TikTok for me is more like a fun outlet. Sometimes I go live on TikTok with other people. I'm trying harder to do that, but I share actual educational content related to GLP-1 related stuff on Instagram regularly. My podcast is Your GLP-1 Bestie. My book that we talked about, The GLP-1 Solution, does exist in the world in all the formats. And then my website is just dietitiangianna.com, and people can find general things there. But I'm most fun on Instagram.
Well, people need to check you out on all the places. Get the full vibe.
Get the full vibe. I feel like people see me on TikTok and they're like, what is the, like, other people like, go follow her. So people follow me on TikTok and I'm like, all you're going to see here is like my random musings.
I would love to offer one last cheers. I would love to have a cheers to having more than protein on our plate and looking deeper to the why of things.
Cheers to that.
Cheers. Gianna, thank you so much for being here and for all of your wisdom and your insights and for hopefully helping a few people get on the right direction today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. So glad you were here. And thank you to everyone that tuned in to listen today. This has been Cheers to This.